from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Now, listen, friend, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. In fact, if He isn't yours, He came to be. Luke 19 and 10 tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now look, I may say this again in just a moment or two, but I'm going to tell you, if you tune in to this old radio preacher today and you're lost and undone, I believe you're right where you ought to be. I believe you're listening to exactly what you ought to be listening to. I'm going to tell you, I'm not the best preacher in the world. I realize that. I understand that. But listen, I've got the best message the world's ever heard. I've got the message of salvation by grace through faith in what Jesus did at Calvary for the sinners like me and you. And I'm going to tell you, sir, ma'am, doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, doesn't matter what your past is, Jesus can take care of it today. All of your bad decisions, all of your wrong decisions can be taken care of by making one right decision today. That is, come to Christ, repent of your sin, and receive Him by faith. Friend, listen, it'll take care of it. It'll take care of all of it. Now look, you may have to live with the consequences. You always remember the past. The devil will never let you forget it. But I'll tell you what you can do today. You can become a new creature in Christ, just like Paul said to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Behold, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature." You can become a new creature in Christ today. But listen, I don't believe it's a perchance thing that you tuned in. I don't believe it's an accident. Listen, you may be traveling through this area, never heard this old radio preacher before, never will again. But I encourage you to stay tuned. Stay tuned to hear what God has for you, specifically for you. I'm going to be looking at the book of Mark's Gospel, or the Gospel according to Mark, I probably should say, chapter 10. Chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading, I believe it is, as I put my glasses on to make sure, verse 17, read down through and include verse 22, and we'll share the message with you that the Lord has laid on my heart. But before that, Deb's got a great song. The title of it is "Saved by the Blood of the Lamb." And friend, I'm telling you, that's what it will take. It'll take His blood applied to your life in order for you to be saved. Hey, listen, it's a divine appointment this morning we're meeting in.
Oh, I have been set free, and I will live eternally, 'cause I've been born again, since I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came for you and me. He came to set the captive free. Forever free, and we eternally, 'cause we have been born again since we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. So glad we're saved by the blood of the Lamb.
Well, thank you for that, Debbie. I'll tell you what, friend, you can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you, it takes the blood. It takes the blood to cleanse us from sin. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I'll tell you what, spiritual life is in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, God's Lamb that came, John tells us in the Gospel according to John chapter 1, verse 29, that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, I'm telling you, friend, listen, I'm excited about the message, excited about being here with you today, being able to share from the Word of God. And let me say it again, just like I introduced this program today, I don't believe it's a perchance thing that you're here. I don't believe that it's an accident. I believe with all of my heart, listen, my mind in preparation and seeking God's face and praying and meditating and looking through the Scripture to see what God would have me to share with you today, it was about somebody that's lost and undone. So I believe this is to you. I believe it's to you personally. I believe it's to you individually. I believe it's to you specifically. And I'm going to tell you something. If God was working in my life and my heart like He is in your heart and your life, I wouldn't turn Him away. I'd listen to what the Spirit says. I would listen to what he has planned for me, what the invitation is. Listen, friend, your eternity is hanging in the balance today. This may be the last gospel message that you'll ever hear. Maybe the last invitation that you'll get to come to know Christ as your Savior. And if that be true, and it is very possible true, I'm telling you, friend, we don't know the next moment. We don't know the next minute, the next hour, the next day, and so forth. Listen, I would embrace every opportunity today that God has given me if I were you. In the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the Word of God says, "When he," speaking of Jesus, "was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and the mother, and thy and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.'" And then watch this. I love this. I love this passage of Scripture. Listen how Jesus reacted, because he knew how this rich young ruler was going to react. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me." Now watch this. And he was sad at that saying, speaking to the rich young ruler, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. I want to talk to you today a little while about an amazing conversation. It was a conversation between the sinner who needed to be saved by grace and the Savior who could do that. I mean, to tell you, this passage is intriguing. This meeting is interesting. I mean, to tell you, it speaks volumes, and it speaks to whosoever will. Listen, friend. Listen, I don't care what your state and situation is in life. I don't care if you're poorer than a pauper. I don't care if you're not rich, if you don't have money in the bank, you don't even have money in your pocket. I'm going to tell you something, friend. This message is for you. I don't care whether you're man or woman. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. This message is for you. God, listen, sent us, me your way, for us to meet wherever we're meeting. Doesn't matter whether you're on the road, in the hospital, in the jail, at home. It doesn't matter where you're at. Bless God, listen, God has a message with your name written on it. And I pray by the grace of God, it goes to your heart. So let's listen to this. Look in the beginning of verse 17 again. "When he was come forth into the way," hey, there came one running and kneeled to him. Hey, do you know who made the initiation of this conversation? It was this rich young ruler. I don't know if he knew what he knew about Christ. I don't know if he had heard him teach. Don't know if he had heard him preach. Don't know whether their paths had crossed before this day or not. but I have an inclination that they had. I had an inclination that he had, so to speak, gotten wind of Jesus. Maybe he had heard him teach somewhere along the way. I have no idea exactly what it was that prompted him to come to him. But listen, this is the way that it ought to be with a sinner. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming to this world. I mean to tell you, he gave his life at Calvary. He lived sinless among us. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third appointed morning, he came out from among the dead so that we could be saved. He's done all that he needs to do. God has sent the Spirit of God in this world to convince men of their sins, to convict them of their sins, convince them that Jesus is the Savior. He's done all that he's done. And you know what? It's your move now. Just like this rich young ruler came to Jesus, by the grace of God, you can come to him today. Hey, in fact, Jesus, listen, isn't this amazing? Came to where this rich young ruler could reach him. God is in reach of you, sir. God is in reach of you, ma'am. All you have to do is just simply come to him. I mean, this rich young ruler initiated this conversation. And look at the question that he asked. He said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now look, he initiated the conversation, and actually, he positioned himself in the right way. He came to him, running to him. There was a sense of urgency, and oh, listen, friend, when I began to look around and see the world situation, see the situation in government, in politics, in the school, in the church world, in the family situation, just all over. I want you to know, friend, listen, you ought to be urgent about this thing. I mean to tell you, you ought to be quick about it. This young ruler, rich young ruler, came running to Jesus. When he initiated the conversation, he even positioned himself in the right way because he knelt down before him. He knelt down before him and asked him that question that all of us should ask. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Hey, listen, if you don't know what you need to do, listen, you need to realize you're a sinner. You need to realize that you're lost and undone on your way to a devil's hell, a Christless eternity, and you need to recognize that if you come to Jesus with a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, a repenting of your sin by faith, receiving Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, maybe verse 9 or 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whoa, this man knew that he had something missing, knew that he had a need in his life, and knew, friend, that he was only here for a short time, that he faced eternity. Oh, there is so much in this question. And he said, listen, I'm concerned. I want to get it right. But the sad thing is, he wanted to get it right according to his terms. And we'll find that out in just a little bit. Look at verse 18 and 19 of the interrogation that Jesus put before him. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." That is God. And Jesus wanted to know what this man thought about him. What he knew about him. He wanted to see and find out whether he thought he was actually God manifest in the flesh. Oh, what a great interrogatory question that Jesus sent before this man as he was seeking to get below the surface, seeking to get below and listen just of the things that this man thought he knew down to the very heart. That's what the Word of God does. That's what the Gospel does. That's what this sword of the Spirit does. For the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the soul and the spirit, and a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. This Word of God, and Jesus was the Word of God incarnate, it's able to pierce and right down to the depths of our soul, go down to the very basis and foundation of our life and living. And Jesus said this. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and mother. And you know what? I'm amazed. I'm amazed, and we'll get that in a minute, at the things that Jesus asked. He didn't give all the Ten Commandments, did He? He didn't give all the Ten Commandments, but He gave how many of them? He gave, what, five or six of them without stopping to count them? Oh, isn't that amazing? Jesus had a purpose. You ever wonder why He didn't name all ten? Do you ever wonder why I didn't take it over and begin to quote out of the book of Exodus chapter 20, I believe it is, how those Ten Commandments that God by His divine finger wrote on those initial tablets of stone and wrote again on the tablets of stone that that Moses brought up the hill after that he had destroyed the original. Isn't that amazing? But Jesus was interrogating. I mean, to tell you what He was doing. Listen now. He was getting him in shape. He was bringing him to the place that he'd have to make a decision. Jesus wanted him, folks. Believe me. Jesus wanted him to make the right decision. Oh, He wanted him to make the right decision. But we have to see what happens, will we not? Oh, I like the interrogation. Now look at the confession. And He said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Now listen, this man, if he was nothing else, he was arrogant. He was proud. Hey, now look, I want to say something here. There's some difference of opinion, and you may disagree with me on this, but I don't see Jesus confronting him. Could have been a lot of reasons behind that. I know that. But Jesus didn't object. He didn't, hey, I believe He was drawing him out to a place. Jesus knew whether he had followed these commandments that He had asked him about up to this point, and it is possible that he had. Hey, Paul did pretty good with the commandments until he got down to the last one. Thou shalt not covet it. Covet, and that got him. Man, that broke him. Jesus was trying to bring this man out of the place that he would see his need of Jesus. But look at the confession that Jesus never objected to. He didn't confront him. He didn't call him, or He didn't say to him, liar, liar, pants on fire. Look at that. But look at verse. Look at the next verse. At the identification in verse 21. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. I love that verse. I told you I did when I read it in the opening of this program. Jesus looked at him. He knew him inside and out. He knew his past. He knew where he was at in the present, and he knew what he was about to do. He knew that he was going to walk away. He knew that he came to Jesus with the right question, with the right attitude, so to speak, because he knelt before him. He came with the right recognition, but Jesus knew what he was going to do, and Jesus loved him. Can I tell you, it looks like to me Jesus could have had a quick convert depending on what he would have said, but Jesus loved him enough. He got right down to the truth of the matter. He identified what this rich young ruler was all about, what his problem was, and listen to what he said. One thing thou lackest. You may be religious, but you're lost. I mean to tell you, you may be moral, but bless God in the sight of God, you're unrighteous. You may be all kinds of things, but listen to what Jesus said. Without Him, you lack one thing. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, Jesus pinpointed the young man's problem. I mean to tell you, just like a good masseuse, and I've never had a massage, and I don't think I'll ever get one. How about they tell me that if you go to a masseuse and you got a problem, you know what they'll do? They'll stick their thumb or finger right in that place that hurts. They identify it, and that's what Jesus did. He identified what was wrong with that rich young ruler, and you know what it was? It wasn't that he had possessions, but no, friend, he his possessions had him. You already knew that. I know you know that. But I wanted to tell you anyway. Look how verse 21 continues and ends. But he said, now listen, although I know they've got you, although I know that you're bound up with those possessions, that's what your life is about. They're in your way. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. He said, but here it is. If you'll come, take up your cross and follow me, there'll be a change. He said, now look, you don't get saved because you sell all your stuff and give it to the poor. He said, that's not what Jesus was saying. Hey, listen, friend, you can have nothing and come to Jesus, and Jesus will tell you the same thing. Take up your cross and follow me. For that rich young ruler, him being willing to give all that he had, sell all that he had and give it to the poor, would have been a testimony. It would have been an undeniable testimony that he had actually trusted Christ, that he was actually had a change take place in him, that he was actually following Jesus, that he was willing. Now watch this. Here it is, to take up his cross. That emblem of death, that emblem of dying, that emblem of dying to self. He was willing to do that. But look at the invitation. It was simple, is it not? And yet it's profound. It's not, hey friend, it's not for wimps. Can I tell you that? And watch what he said. Listen now, after the invitation in verse 21, look at the decision in verse 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that sad? Doesn't that break your heart? I mean to tell you, doesn't that burden you? Listen, here's a man that had the greatest opportunity of anybody that you've ever met or read about in the Word of God. I mean to tell you, he came to the right person. He came with the right reason. He came asking the right question, and he went away the wrong way. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he had a conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was interested in his eternity. He was interested in the condition of his soul. He was interested in where he would be when this life was over. And it's no wonder Jesus, when he looked at him, when he beheld him, and Jesus was looking at him inside and out. He was beholding him, and he was doing it lovingly. He said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Ah, listen, friend, his decision was all wrong. I mean, there is so much right about this meeting with Jesus. There is so much right about this opportunity that he had. So much right about this thing that he initiated. I don't know how far he came. I don't know where he lived. I don't know how he came to this decision. But can I tell you what, sir, ma'am? It's time that you come to the right one. I told you today it wasn't a perchance thing that we've gotten together around the Word of God as we have. That it's not a perchance thing that you pulled off the road and you said, man, I need to hear the rest of this message. God is sending it, COD, to you, sir. Excuse me, to you, ma'am. You say, why? Because he doesn't want you to go away wrong. You've come to him. You've stopped. You've given him time. You're giving him consideration. You know there are things in your life that's got you bound up. And let me tell you something. The only way that those bonds can be broken is by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And listen, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Do you know what Jesus came to do? He came to set you free. If any man be in Christ, he is free, and he's free indeed. The Word of God teaches us. Wouldn't you like to be free today to serve? Wouldn't you like to be free to live? Wouldn't you like to get rid of all those burdens, all of those weights, all of those things that possess you? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. If you come to Jesus, just like David said in Psalm 51, and I'm turning there rather as quickly as I can to read that so I can get it to you right. This is a great piano psalm, a great psalm of repentance. And David said this. Listen, he said profound things in this. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. And he said, oh God, thou wilt not despise. And listen, Hasn't sin had enough effect on you? Hasn't sin robbed you of too much already? I don't know what that means. Maybe it's just your youth. Maybe it's your beauty. Maybe it's your money. I know it's your peace. I know it's many things like that. Why don't you come to Jesus today? Why don't you come with that heart that right now is broken, that spirit that is regretful and remorseful and repenting, and say something like this: Dear Jesus, right now, the best I know how, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. I don't want to die lost. I ask You to save me in light of what Christ did at Calvary. I believe that You died for me. Now help me to live for You. Forgive me of my sin and come live in my heart. You know what Jesus will do? He'll do that very thing. Hey, you can have a conversation with Jesus today, just like the rich young ruler, but make sure you come away with the right things and not the wrong things. Look, ask Him to save you, and He'll do it. Get in touch with me and let me know that you have, and He has, until the next
you
time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.